Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I am your ever faithful host, AJ.
Greetings and salutations.
So, tonight we have the 100, also known as 100 Second Dawn, because this episode is a backdoor pilot to the new show that they're hoping the CW will pick up. Oh dear. And the second part of our show, we'll be discussing episodes 9 and 10 of Snowpiercer, which is the finale of the season. Big things going on there. So, as soon as Karen gets here, we will start talking about the 100. While I am waiting for her, I will say, if you like Broadway musicals, if you like historical fiction, if you like rap or hip-hop or R&B, and you have Disney Plus, I highly recommend watching Hamilton. I watched it last night. I thoroughly enjoyed it. If you don't have Disney Plus, get it. And that's just for Hamilton. Disney Plus is a lot of fun, especially if you have kids. But yeah, thoroughly enjoyed Hamilton. Historical fiction is a lot of fun. At least for me personally, I've always liked history. And with historical fiction, I Google to see how much is right on and how much is kind of played with a little. But yes, thoroughly enjoyed Hamilton. It was a good time. And there is Karen. Perfect timing. I'm on computer. There we go. Good evening.
Hi. Happy Fandom Access.
Yes. How are we this evening?
How are you? I'm good.
I'm good.
How are you doing? Yeah? Great.
Yep. Me too.
Did you have a good week since our last podcast?
Oh, I'm still here, so yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, good week.
Another week. I had a very good week. In the last couple of days, I've been able to walk a couple steps on my bad broken ankle.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, as long as I have my big boot on all pumped up full of air, I've been able to take a couple steps with only one crutch. Walking is great. And it's amazing that even more than walking, I really look forward to driving sometime soon. Which would be fantastic.
Okay, so I guess without further ado, God, I wish we didn't have to ado the 100.
You want to talk about the 100?
This backdoor pilot fiasco.
I feel that this was a story I was never curious about or cared about or wanted to see. I feel a little resentful that I had to watch this in the middle of the final season when there's so much more that I'm interested in. I wonder if they had done this maybe two seasons ago, three seasons ago, I might have felt differently about it. But it felt to me like a week that I was like, there's more that I'm interested in. It was, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we need to discuss it as a separate and totally new show. I don't know. To me, it doesn't feel really that connected or answer any questions that I really wanted to hear. I don't know. But how did you feel about it?
Oh, God. It's
not good.
It accomplished nothing. It's a backdoor pilot. It's totally self-serving. That's the extent of it. I mean, the only thing the episode did was it made me hate Bill more than I already did, and didn't even know I hated him.
Yeah. Right.
So the new show is going to focus on the start of the Grounders versus Bill going to a new world. I don't need to see that. I've already seen the end result. I don't need to see everything that came before it. Oh, Kenny is going to have the sphere ball thingy to tell the future. I'm guessing that, you know, when what's her name? Echo, when she pushed the symbol, the seven symbols that weren't making any noises.
Oh yeah, Becca is some kind of it's almost like Becca has powers or has some ability to. Yeah, I didn't love
it's because of the Nightblood. I'm assuming that's what I took from it.
Yeah.
That's why she could hear it. Which begs the question why nobody else can hear it. Like when Clark, you know, taking the sphere thingy, why she's got Nightblood.
She's a Nightblood, and she's had the flame. She's the only person besides Becca who's had the flame also. Didn't love is that it established that Calliope. So we know that the flame held like all the previous commanders, and if you have the flame, you have the wisdom of all the commanders. But it wasn't really established that you knew all the, you know, like despite Shedheda and, you know, certain commanders sometimes coming to the fore, they weren't really all there. And then to discover, like, you know, for Clark to be like, yeah, Callie's here. Like, wait a minute, now you totally have all the memories of, like,
yeah.
I don't love how she doesn't have the flame. She has the neural network that was left behind by Allie, right? And I just didn't really love that. It was all presented, like, the entire episode suddenly is presented as though Clark just had this major flashback of the whole thing in her brain that was in her brain all along because of the flame, right? And the neural network.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I took it, too.
If there was going to be a prequel, I think I'd be more interested in the Ark and how the Ark came to be a place that would send 100 children to the ground and float all those people more than, you know, it's sort of left like, oh, my father has friends on the space stations, and that's sort of just, like, out there. To me, that might be a more interesting story than how the... In fact, I think it's sort of... I mean, I feel a little bit like it takes a little something away from the Grounders to find that they evolved from Callie and that the Grounder language is actually... a language she made up as a child? Like, what? Like, I... Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we can talk about it as a story and as an independent plot, I guess, but I think it takes away from the Grounders. Apparently everyone who survives does so because Becca came down with 2,000 doses of Nightblood from her spaceship, or she came down and somehow taught Callie how to make 2,000 doses. I don't know. I enjoyed a little bit of seeing, like, life in the bunker before, what did they call it, Tina?
Right.
She was down there, Blood Raina, before Blood Raina, right? Like,
yeah.
That was a little bit interesting to me, but, yeah. I mean, and, you know, you're right, it does fully establish, I think, the Red Dawn as a cult of personality. Maybe they didn't go in as a cult of personality. I mean, we don't really know how they went in, but they certainly are a cult of personality by the time Callie escapes and by the time William becomes who he is in Clark's world, right? And he's a total jerk. Like, he's a total he's just as bad as Blood Raina. He's just as bad as, yeah, he's worse than Blood Raina, probably, right? Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess we should talk about it a little bit as a show and how it was all set up. And you say this has been planned since, like, season 4. By the way, it hasn't been greenlighted. It has not. It hasn't got a go for series yet.
They're hoping it gets picked up.
Yeah. So, pretending it's not connected to the 100, how did you like it, like, just as a pilot, as a show?
I don't know that I can disconnect it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if it was just, hey, this is a show about the end of the world and people survive the apocalypse, nuclear holocaust, if I look at it as that, as its first episode, I feel pretty much the same. I hate Bill. I mean, there's not much. You know,
yeah.
Callie seems like an interesting character. And, you know, if I'm looking at it as a fresh show that I haven't, that I knew nothing, oh my God, who's this backup person that they killed already? You know, I want to know more about her. What's the space station? That, you know, I mean, I know all this stuff, so it's kind of, I mean, I guess it might be intriguing if you've never seen The 100. It could be intriguing.
Yeah.
It probably has about the same intrigue as The 100 did when it first started, I guess, if you can look at it with fresh eyes. Yeah, it does have potential. However, I personally am so soured by what they've done to The 100, a show that I used to couldn't wait to watch every week. And then they had to eat everybody in the bunker and destroy the show.
Yeah.
So it's not something I'm looking forward to. I'm not watching it. I have no, you know, mostly because I don't care about what led up to the show that we've already watched. You know, I don't care about the start of the Grounders. And one of the two other problems with the episode. One was, so you expect me to believe in 100 years, we basically devolve. Because Callie goes out with people, they have, you know, memories from 2025, and we go, somehow we regress, like everybody forgets. I mean, if these people know about Becca, why did they ever call the Bishop Polis? I mean, it's like these people have the knowledge, like they're kind of right, I feel. And maybe they'll explain it in the show when they do it, but they're kind of retconning a little bit, because Polis, they didn't know where it came from. The commanders should have known about Becca and Callie and everything, you know? Like, we shouldn't have lost the history. But it's like we got completely mind-wiped, and nobody knew how they got to be or where they got to be, and they thought this was the normal thing. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I don't know how, like, they might be able to explain it all in the new show, but I just have no interest in watching that, so.
I didn't feel like these were compelling characters that I was that interested in. I mean, so while the original 100 was much more of like a teen show when it started out, and it was so about the kids going down to the ground, I felt like a little more connected and interested. This, I mean, in some ways, this episode was really a family drama. And I felt like the characters were not very, I mean, while Callie is clearly the main character, like, it really wasn't well developed, like, how her father and her brother became, particularly how her brother became such total jerks. Like, sometimes I felt like, oh, obviously the mother raised the daughter and the father raised the son, and that's why they grew up differently. And yet, sometimes I felt like, I forget the brother's name, but I felt sometimes like Callie and her brother had seen each other recently, hadn't been separated that long, and I just didn't understand how he became such a totally different person, unable to think for himself, completely, like, into whatever his father said. Like, I just didn't buy them as ever having been a family. Like, I almost felt like they'd been estranged forever and didn't know each other, right? And yet at the last moment, Callie does give her brother the night blood so that he can live, and in the hopes that he'll, like, I just didn't really, that the brother's character in particular is a weak character for me. The father also, like, on some level I get that he's a very, like, egotistical genius filled with hubris that his way is right, and yet that's not an interesting character. We've kind of seen that on this and many other shows, and I just kind of didn't buy them as the family dynamic, I didn't buy that much. I also felt like, so we know that Nicole Munoz, that's her name, right? Nicole is her first name. From
poor Nicole.
Who is maybe the best known actress on the show to the target audience, is in it for about 5 minutes as the best friend and arguably gets blown up. I believe she must live somehow, right? Like, somehow she's a natural Nightblood, or somehow she lives, because I don't understand why this level of actress was cast, and I also don't understand the point of this idea that she's like, oh, I left my best friend behind, just doesn't resonate the way, you know, that annoying guy, who's the guy who's got a guitar on his back throughout the entire apocalypse, who's like, oh, my girlfriend, who appears,
oh, yeah,
you know, he, you know, his, I understood that a little bit more than like, I was like, wait, it's your best friend, but are they actually dating? Like, I didn't really, like, of all, like, I just didn't get any of that, and I think Nicole Muñoz must be a major character maybe going forward if it gets picked up, because I don't understand not only why she was cast when she's on another show, but like, what is the point of that character, and
well,
why that was,
there is a possibility,
such a big deal.
I don't know about her being a natural Nightblood, since there was no such thing until
right.
Becca came up with the serum.
However,
I could see other people having found a way to survive other than just the bunker people, which could explain the different factions of Grounders.
Yeah.
But again, I don't.
Oh, I really don't love that Tree Crew is the name of their ridiculous, like, environmental NGO that they
belong
to.
Oh yeah, I know.
To.
I thought that was kind of funny.
Right.
I always
thought that Tree Crew had to do with them being like the Forest Tribe, and other people had different names. And I always took it the same way. Yeah, like, some of the weakest part for me is how the names and the language are based on Callie's, like language she made up as a kid. Yeah, like, all, like, I kind of really, I mean, I enjoy, I forget the language they speak, the Grounders speak, but I kind of like, found it believable that over 100 years, over two or three generations, language evolves, and that in the absence of, like, other, like, they evolve a pigeon language, just like if you go to different parts of the world, they speak a pidgin English, or a you know, like, Spanish is not the same in every country, French is not the same in every country, and that their language should evolve. And I find that much more believable than the idea that all Sky Crew still says things like, Columbus sailed the ocean in 1492, or they high five, or they speak like kids. Like, I found the evolution of the Grounder language really believable. And now we're going to find out that, like, I also don't understand any reason possible why they would have to speak Callie's pidgin English. Like, is there a rival gang? They don't want to understand them.
I feel like part of the reason they do that, you know, is because of the different, it's gotta be a faction thing. So other people don't understand them, and it's stuck.
Yeah.
Like a thing. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
The problem stems from the fact that they destroyed the show, and it just...
They did. I might have preferred to see a show where Becca figures as a bigger character in it. Like, I don't love... We knew there was a stone on Earth. I'm not really sure how it's going to work out that a stone was in the bunker, and Blood Reyna and all of Wong Crew were in the bunker for 5 years and never knew there was a stone or found a stone. Like, that part, I'm not really sure where that's going, right?
They had to have moved it, or there's going to be an explanation, which we might not even get on the 100. Who knows? I don't even have a... It's not, you know, and it's not even that important, really.
Yeah.
As to where, what, and why.
Yeah.
So.
Here's a question. So let me ask you this question. So we saw almost nothing of anyone except at the end, Clark. You know, at the end we see Clark and her crew.
Oh, that was, yeah.
You know, Clark.
A question about that. Go ahead.
So Clark and her crew have all the guns and everything, and you know, we see this sort of almost a flashbacky kind of thing, and, you know, Clark has William at gunpoint and is like, I want my friends or whatever, or I'm not going to tell you the flame works. So given that Clark is like pretty much lying about the flame, like the flame is not in Clark's head. The flame is buried on Sanctum. And Clark is like, I'm not really sure if that whole flashback, like, was it in Clark's head and is Callie really there? Or was it a William flashback kind of, and Clark is lying when she says Callie's
there?
Yeah,
I think it matters.
Like, we don't know if Callie was ever a commander anyway, right? Could she have been more like Gaia, like a flame keeper, right?
Right.
I kind of prefer an idea that Clark is lying. And that Callie's not on her head.
Who knows? But here's my thing. Okay, they've been playing a lot with time frames on the show, and it's been very confusing. But you're going to tell me that I know Echo and Octavia and Pioza, they all said, okay, you know, we'll join your little stupid army here or whatever. Just last episode, which was a couple hours ago in TV land. Okay. They look like they're already full-blown believers. Or is that just my imagination?
They sure do look like full-blown believers. And I guess, you know, it's not really clear to me how long they spent. Like we saw them in the cell, and then they're like, we're ready to fight. But I don't feel like I know how long went by and what really happened to them.
Yeah.
And was there some period of indoctrination? And given that they have machines on Bardo that can search your memory, do they have machines that could just like brainwash you to be into them? I don't know. I mean, I do think they were partially already indoctrinated / brainwashed when they spent 5 years studying with, I mean, who's that? Who was the guy they betrayed in the end, the prisoner who was their friend and who taught them everything and basically made them a level 12 so they could pass, right? They spent 5 years learning everything. Like, they know everything that Clark doesn't know to a certain degree, right? Like, they know all about, like, working Shepherd and they were trained to be a level 12, whatever that means. So, I don't really know.
Yeah.
Like, more time could have gone by, and maybe we'll see them. I don't know. I mean, next week's episode. So this bothers me a little bit because we're going to be stuck with another flashback episode next week, basically where we learn how Octavia Dioza and Echo became true believers. Or are they true believers? Like, are they true believers, or are they faking it? Do they really believe in this fight, or were they, like, up until a minute ago, like, they believed Bellamy was alive, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where they're going to, what their plan is. And not only that, where was Hope? I was kind of curious about what happened to Hope.
Yeah, Hope was sort of mysteriously missing in the last moment, right? Like, we saw Octavia, Echo, and Dioza, but we did not see Hope. And I wonder, like, is Hope most likely to be a true believer or least likely to be a true believer? I mean, Hope would not be affected by the way Echo and Octavia would by Bellamy's death. I don't really know. You know, it kind of also, like, the way this storyline advances and with a backdoor pilot, the backdoor pilot is in no way related to Sanctum at all, right, as far as we can tell. And so,
not at all.
Like, does it make you kind of feel that whatever's going on in Sanctum and with Shade Hata is maybe just sort of, like, distraction and keeping characters busy? And does it even really matter what's happening on Sanctum? Like, the Bardoites apparently never go to Sanctum. Like, the Bardo people apparently left Sanctum to, like, hang out by themselves for, like, a million years until Clark showed up. Well, not a million years, but for a long time until Clark showed up, right? Like, no one knew about Bardo?
Yeah.
No one on Sanctum knew about Bardo.
Apparently not.
And so, I wonder if that's going to be, like, a throwaway in the end, like, I would hate for the last season to have a major storyline be sort of throwaway and not connected to really what's going on.
Oh, I feel like
it feels like it feels like they stuck Murphy and Amori maybe in a hamster wheel for a while, and other characters who were still there, while you know we have this other stuff going on. I don't know. I feel like the backdoor pilot kind of took something away from the main show right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. So this is not a show I intend to watch. It did not make me at all interested in watching that show, right?
Me either.
Except for the fact that and it hasn't been produced yet, so almost nothing's on TV and going to be produced, and if it gets green-lighted, it won't happen for probably like a year or two. I mean, I think the pandemic in a perfect world, they would green-light it, shoot it, and it would air like a year from now, right? Not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a fan. I think it was I think it was decently reviewed by certain audiences.
Okay, good for them. I am not sure.
We are not the audience, yeah. I mean, I think that you and I are looking forward to the show coming to its conclusion. Like this is season 7, and it's gone a long time, and we're ready for it to end.
I mean, I'm not sure if, I don't know if they're trying to get new viewers. I mean, I could see them getting new viewers. I can't see anybody that has been watching 100 this whole time be anxious to see what came before. Like it's just, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm missing why it would be interesting to see the stuff leading up to it. But usually with prequels, there's a catch, there's a draw to it. You know what I mean? I don't feel that with 100. I feel like it's who cares? The whole, the premise of 100 doesn't matter what came before, because the premise was, what do you do when the world has gone to shit because of nuclear warheads? You know? Not what happens immediately after.
Well, yeah, and the premise kind of was that, like, the kids went to the ground without really knowing any of this history, and it was a whole new world that no one really understood, right? Like, part of the premise was that it was completely without any kind of precedent or understanding. They might as well land it on the moon, right?
Yeah. And you know what would have been interesting, what I would have kind of liked, which would have given it a nice feel, would have been if Callie didn't leave with a couple hundred people, if she left with 100 people.
Yeah.
If she left with 100 grand, I think it would have more
with
100, feel to it, if you want to go that route. But
that would have been perfect. That would have been a perfect, you're right, AJ, that would have been perfect, that there's 100, there's a new 100 that go outside the bunker.
Exactly.
And we see what happens with
the 100. The new show is going to be called The 100 Second Dawn, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, so if I'm the network, I would show this pilot independently and try to get a whole new audience. To me, I don't know that a lot of 100 viewers would be like, yes, I have to watch this. I mean, I guess there are some that are really interested in that.
To me, these are
not the mysteries I wanted to be solved, right? To me, there are other parts of, if there was going to be a prequel, there are other things I'd like to see.
You know, and there's a reason they do backdoor pilots like that. Let me put it this way, okay? Supernatural did a backdoor pilot. Which I was totally down to watch, and it did not get picked up by the CW. And Supernatural is obviously beloved by the CW. It's been on for 15 years, okay? And their backdoor pilot for this other show did not get picked up, which would have been a totally badass show, I felt. from some, you know, they're basically taking a bunch of the supporting characters, you know, and getting on the show, which that didn't happen. I can't see this thing picked up. The 100
mm-hmm.
is not as, I don't think it's as beloved as Supernatural. So I can't really see it happening. But what do I know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, again, what do we know? And there's, like, you know, again, so much other stuff to see. So many other storylines that we'd like to see. You know, again, I kind of, you know, I don't always love backdoor pilots, partly because they do, you know, when they're done well, they're sort of seamless. When they're done poorly, and I don't want to say this is done poorly, but to me, it was an hour of show that I didn't get, right? It was an hour of, like, characters that I didn't get to see. Like, it was another hour that Bob Morley is not on the 100.
And this was episode what? That was 9?
Oh, my. I think it was 9, yeah. And, I mean, again, I hate to begrudge the guy's vacation, but it was another hour of, like, not, you know, not seeing Clark.
Well, I don't
working with her friends.
Comprehend,
not seeing
I don't comprehend his vacation. I mean, who in the final season? I mean, who agrees to this type of vacation in your final season? I mean, he's a pivotal.
I don't know.
Character.
I mean,
I
called it vacation, but I think media reports have been like Bob Morley asked for some time off. He could be taking a class at Harvard. He could be getting some medical treatment. He could be studying. He could be doing anything. I called it a vacation, but, you know, he could have been really burnt out from being in every episode since the beginning of the show, right? Like,
he could have been like, listen, I want off this show. But since it's the final season.
He could have been like, I'll come back when you figure out my character and give me something to do, right? Like, he could have been like, look, let my wife be the star and I'll just, you know, take a back seat for it. Could have been anything. I said vacation, but...
Your wife already is the star.
And she's not getting enough screen time either, frankly, in the final season.
Yeah, no, she's really not.
Yeah. They need, like you and I have said, they need to kill. So aside from getting rid of, from the pilot of all these new characters, they need to kill a whole bunch of people and get us back to a core, you know.
Well, it doesn't matter now. You know, it doesn't matter what they can get us back to 100 people and it wouldn't matter.
Well, I mean, once they kill Baby Dioza and what's his name, the beardy guy who killed his father last week, and, you know, all the horrible characters. Way too many characters.
Well, Jamie
anyway,
came in.
Is
so
Jamie
we
with
got,
us?
We got
all right, good.
Else. Yeah. She,
no, I think
we
were spitballing until Jamie showed up, so.
Yep.
Hello. Sorry about that.
Hello, Jamie.
I made it, finally.
No, sir.
Don't be sorry. We were just finishing our...
Yeah, you didn't miss nothing.
Yep. We
okay,
just
cool.
finished our 100 conversation. So your
all
timing's
right.
perfect.
Okay, good.
How are you?
I'm good. You guys?
Good. Great. Great.
Great.
I told AJ I'm starting to be able to take a few steps on my broken ankle.
Well, that's good.
And maybe walk a little bit. Yep. Yep.
Don't break it again.
Yep.
Do that.
Yeah, no, I'll be careful. So,
All right. So
you're just in time. We were just, you know, hoping you'd come around to talk about Snowpiercer, season finale.
Yes, which was 2 episodes, so we have double the
I would
talk
like
about.
To, yep, I would like to begin by saying when I clicked my DVR, like if you're not careful, so it wasn't a 2-hour episode, it was 2 1-hour episodes. And you know, if you're not careful, your DVR just does the most recent episode. And so I watched 10 minutes of the second hour, and it's like I didn't even need to see the first hour. Like, all of a sudden I was like, wait, am I missing something? Oh, yeah, I missed the first hour. Then I had to go back and rewatch it.
You have a weird DVR.
My DVR always goes to the most it goes to the most recent episode, not to the one that you missed.
Right.
So
but
it started...
should tape both of the new ones, I would hope. Did it not tape it?
It taped it. It taped it, but it just
starts
with the last episode.
I see.
Yes. And I assumed it was a 2-hour episode, not that it was 2 1-hour episodes. Anyway, I'm watching it for like 10 minutes, and it didn't even really make that big a difference until I was like, wait, they separated the train? What? And so then
I went back. You missed that, right?
Anyway.
Yeah, kind of an important thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm guessing this ended much different than the movie. That's my first question.
Yeah. The movie is, I mean, the ending of the movie is not at all like this.
Okay, that's what I kind of figured.
Let's just say the show went off the rails.
Literally. Uh-huh. I also don't see any way that this show goes to where the movie goes. Like, I think if you would agree, they have chosen a different path than the movie chose. And it will not go. There's no second train in the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And things that happen, yeah. So anyway, they've chosen a totally different route. So yeah. So so Jamie, why don't you start with what you thought about this extravaganza?
I thought it was really good. I mean, as usual, violent and has its sad moments, but it was really good. I kind of wasn't sure how they were going to end it. I liked that they had Leighton like went blank there for a second, and Melanie kind of somewhat worked together in the end. And I don't know. I'm curious how you guys feel now. I feel better about Melanie. I mean, she's obviously still done some horrible things, but in the end, I mean, she's still sort of one of the quote-unquote good guys, I mean, if you can say that. But I didn't really, like, I figured if we saw him, he would be in Mr. Wilford, that he would be in a flashback, or perhaps that, you know, they'd find out he's alive or something, but I didn't expect him to be, you know, charging in on another train. So obviously she didn't kill him, and it seems there was some kind of fallout. I think her daughter being alive was like, duh. I kind of wondered, hold on 1 second, I do too, sorry. I kind of wonder if maybe, I don't know, I don't know if it makes sense, but I'm kind of wondering if, like, that's her husband and that's why her daughter's there, but it could have nothing to do with that. But, I don't know. It's not what I expected to happen. I was kind of happy with the way that they were, maybe we're going to get to see kind of how they restructure everything, but now obviously they have another, we're assuming, bad guy on the horizon. The fact that Melanie fell outside the train was kind of stupid. The other thing is, I thought they had, maybe they just announced that Sean Bean was Mr. Wilford, but I thought we were going to see him, and obviously we didn't.
No, they just it was already filmed prior to him being cast.
Right. I thought we'd at least, like, see a second of him, but I guess not. Well, next year. But I don't know. I don't know that I per se want to say I like the way they're going with that, but, I mean, I don't know, because I don't know what they have planned, but I was kind of hoping, to, like I said, to see them figure out the right way to try to get everything back on track, and obviously that's not going to happen, and it sounds like from the preview and that it's not going to go good. I didn't get, not that I didn't get, I mean, I understand it, but I don't understand his motivation, that Melanie's boyfriend or whatever, that that he knew that Wilford was there and kind of went that way. Okay, your turn.
AJ, what are you, any thoughts there?
I actually enjoyed all the twists and turns. I mean, once the second train connected, I had a feeling that it was going to be her daughter, that her daughter was going to be on the train. I wasn't expecting her to be the emissary, but I definitely figured that her daughter was alive. Where, you know, when they were cutting through the back of the train, I said to Artie said something about Wilford, and I said, yeah, wait till you see who's going to be Wilford. Oh, he said something, but he goes, he's like, you know, everything just got settled, and he's like, now we got another big bad. I was like, yeah, wait till you see who's Wilford. I was like, oh, but then, you know what? I was like, he might not be around that long. And Artie sits there for a second, and then he goes, is it Ned?
No.
He got that from what I said. Because Sean Bean has never made it through a movie or TV show alive.
That's true. That's true.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
like, he always gets killed. Yeah.
So I told Artie that at one point, made a joke about it. And he picked up on it as soon as I said it. So.
Yeah. So I felt like there's a lot of good stuff going on in like the smaller interactions throughout the 2 hours, which I know that we'll get to, but I did feel like this idea that there's another train out there, it bothered me because you guys know how I hate when there's information that is known to one or two characters that is sprung on the audience as like an aha moment, right? And the idea that there's another train out there, which really Melanie knew about, along with Javi and boyfriend guy, kind of all knew about it, right? Like they, while Melanie has talked about the fact that she shoved Wilford off the train and he was maybe dead, like this train called Alice, they sort of all knew was out there. They knew it was, right? They knew it was built, and they knew it was, they seemed to not really be surprised that it's out there.
Well, maybe they thought he was dead, but I have a feeling like she never thought he was dead. I don't think she even attempted to kill him. I think she just said that because maybe she didn't want the people looking for him.
I mean, I don't think she attempted to kill him. She shoved him off the train because she believed it was important that she take control of the train, that she was a better steward of the train is why she did it, not because she really, like, wanted to kill him, right?
Right, but I mean, I don't know that she, like, really believed she killed him in a way. Like, I don't know. Do you think she took that train?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Her boyfriend but...
But I feel like those guys, like, nobody was really surprised that it was out there. And then boyfriend guy, like, knew it was there from the morning, and so that sort of betrayal. I did not really love the idea that it's got this sort of, like, mounting mechanism built into the front of the train that it can join itself to Snowpiercer. And I was always like,
which was kind of dumb.
Yeah, and as I'm watching it, I'm like, wait a minute, it has to have a completely perfect, like, seal to keep the cold air out, and it's got to be like an airlock kind of a thing. And I'm like, what kind of technology is this? And did he build Alice like that, or was it built later? And I need to stop because it's a train that's been circling the Earth for 7 years, so why am I worried about this, you know, mechanism? Mm-hmm. I thought that, so I did not expect it to be Melanie's daughter. That took me a little bit by surprise. I just turned it on tonight and was kind of really trying to like get to the end of it. And so I was watching and maybe not thinking and analyzing that much, but you know, I was surprised when that kid walks the front and when she said, I'm Alexandra Cavill, I wasn't, like, falling on the floor like a holy crap moment, but I also didn't really expect that coming.
I
knew
it was dumb. It was just kind of like, I don't know. I thought I wasn't surprised. Now, I wouldn't say that I expected it all along, but, I mean, like, once the train opened, I kind of was suddenly, like, and they showed somebody who I'm like, that's not him. I'm like, that's got to be her.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't know until then.
So,
I didn't, like, expect it ahead.
I kind of think, and I like to ask AJ and Jamie, both of you, you know, the idea that Jamie says, like, you don't really think that Melanie necessarily thought that she killed, like, while she has said that she threw Wilford off the train and killed him, she doesn't really think she killed him. And she does say to Leighton, like, if he boards our train, it's going to be so much worse than anything that ever happened yet.
Right.
Which makes me think that she knows that he's a far worse person than we've been led to believe all along. I don't know.
I'm kind of curious what made her make him as a figurehead in the first place, because obviously there was no, per se, with Mr. Wilford in the first place in the sense that she made him up, because he was a ticket taker. So it wasn't like we had originally thought, like maybe he was there at the beginning and then something happened.
What do you mean?
No, he had all the money. He sold all the tickets because he was the billionaire that fronted it.
Right. But I mean, they never actually, like, met him except when he took their ticket. So I don't know. I feel like I guess you're part of it too, but I mean, I feel like part of it, she had to have made up that persona because he was never actually on the train. like, from the beginning of the show, I had kind of always assumed that he was there at some point and had died. But I'm just saying, like, the whole idea of Mr. Wilford, in a sense, was kind of made by her. Like, he, because none of that ever happened.
No.
He's a real person that they've met.
Right, but, like,
I figure he's like an Elon Musk type character, who's this like very billionaire person who invents stuff and is known to people. But if he came into like a hotel that you manage, like, hey, Jamie, you're really nice. I'm Mr. Wilford. Come, like, you'd be like, oh yeah, I've heard of you. You're a rich billionaire who invents stuff. Yes, I'll get on your train. Like, I think that he legit like was an idea man. But he hired Melanie to build it, and Melanie realized, like, this guy's kind of a joker, and I did all the work, and I got to shove him off the train when we shove off, and I got to take control. But I think he was a real genius billionaire that people knew about.
I guess what I'm saying, and I don't, maybe I didn't get across part, is that, like, I hadn't, and we all know this now, but I hadn't really thought about it until now, that, like, the stuff that they think he did on train, like, we know that it was fake. But I had always, up until recently, when we found out more, thought that, like, even if he was bad, like, originally he was there. You know what I mean? Like, there on the train. Like, anything he ever did for that train was all fake, other than he got the train and got them on it. You know what? Does that make sense? I don't think I'm quite saying it right.
Yeah.
I'm like, the whole thing with Mr. Wilford as the Mr. Wilford we know is a complete creation in Melanie's mind of what she made these people believe. So I'm saying, like, they're like, oh, this Mr. Wilford's a nice guy because they think he started him off there. Regardless of her lying, throwing him off, like, they don't actually know him, if that makes sense.
Yes.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, they are assuming he's going to be this guy, but they've never even, I mean, they've barely met him. So I don't know. I just think it's going to be kind of interesting to see how that goes. I don't know, but I'm interested in her relationship to him because she said she left them, like, she left her daughter and husband. So it makes me think it's not him, but at the same time, she has to have, I feel like
there's
some kind of more connection we just don't know about.
That's not really what she says, right? Like, she says,
it leads you to believe
she says they were supposed to come to the train and meet her, and they didn't get there in time, and so she left, and she regretted it. Like she didn't leave them like, I'm secretly getting on a train and leaving you to die.
No.
Like, she fully expected that they would join the train, and they never made it.
Right, but that's my point. Is that her husband? Is that the they? Because I don't know. I kind of wondered if, like I said, if maybe it's possible that her husband was originally him, and that's how she knew he was so bad, and, like, that's how she got away from him. I don't know. I just think, like, maybe they have, not necessarily that, but that there's some kind of connection between the two of them other than I worked on your train and I left you to die. Like, I feel like there's more there. I don't know. Between the two of them.
I think it must have taken years and years and years to build that train in a sort of like boss and employee, mentor and mentee kind of relationship. I mean, I think Mr. Wilford is a visionary, but he didn't do the work. I don't know. Like, so I mean, AJ, I'm a little bit influenced by having seen the movie and who Mr. Wilford is in the movie, right? And in the movie, so we've been very careful not to spoil it, but I think it's okay to say, like, in the movie there aren't two trains, and in the movie, you know, Mr. Wilford's, I don't know, there's so much in the movie, like, I don't want to ruin it if you ever want to see it, but, like, it is clear now that the movie is going in a completely different direction. I don't know. Like, in the movie, the level of, I don't know. In the movie, the level of, like, manipulation from first class is so different. And I don't know, AJ, what we feel about spilling it. I guess we could change the subject there and talk more about what happened, because there's a whole bunch of people on this train that I'd like to talk about, and I would love to see them die in the next season.
Well, some of them may have. So, do we think then first class is gone for good? Or do we think there's some way they're going to come back? I don't know, they could come back and get them.
There's a
but
part of me that suspects that they're going to survive. Because that was
something
I was going to mention. When Melanie falls off the train, it's powder. She's walking through powder. That indicates that it's not as cold out there as they say it is.
Maybe.
So
it's supposed to be 100.
Did a good job with the effects and made a boo-boo, one or the other. But
I mean,
because I wondered, like, you can't fall off the train and be
okay. That's a big boo-boo.
Yeah.
Big boo-boo.
Yeah, but that's what I wondered. She should have been, like, not had that much time in the cold to be okay and survive. Like, that was, like, kind of wondered the first thing, like, how did she fall off that train? And she's, but I didn't think she'd be able to stay out that long. When she went down under the train or whatever she did before, it was like they only had so many minutes and they had to rush and everything because she'd still freeze to death. And I don't know, it just makes me wonder if maybe things aren't quite what they seem or maybe they've changed after the 6 years. At the same time, though, we know it'll also freeze off extremities, so I don't know. That's why I said it could have been they didn't do the set right. I don't know.
There's a moment in this episode where Ruth is making an announcement, and I think Ruth says it's like 120 degrees below zero, right? And so when Melanie's on top of the train, which is moving at high speed, the wind chill would make it probably at least like 150, right? And she's in a suit, which, you know, so granted, when people walk in space, it is, I don't even
That's
know
true.
How cold in space, it's very considerably below zero in space, right? So she's wearing some kind of a space-type suit. But, I mean, I agree. Like, is it really as cold as they say it is? Because how does Ruth know how cold it is? And I agree with AJ that Melanie lands in, like, knee-deep, waist-deep snow, fluffy snow.
Which there shouldn't be snow if it's ice.
Yeah. It implies that there's ongoing precipitation and snow falling, and it's not like a freaking glacier that she lands on. It's been 7 years of an ice age. I mean, I'm not a scientist. Did snow fall in the ice age? I don't know, but I would think that she wouldn't fall in snow the way AJ suggests, right?
Yeah.
So is that not? I mean, I think it's interesting that you and you guys noticed it and I did, because I think what they're trying to give us in that scene is that Melanie has landed many, many, many cars back. Like, they pull back and Melanie's like dozens or hundreds, like it's a 900 length train, right? And she's very far from where she needs to be to help her team.
She was heading to the back, though, wasn't she? I mean, it doesn't matter. The point is they were moving so fast, she got sent in the wrong direction. But I was thinking she was – it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
but
you're right,
Jamie.
You would think she'd be thrown, like miles behind either train.
I didn't think – no, because you got to remember, the new train, Big Alice, is, they said, 40 cars long. I don't think she went in either direction. I think she just fell off the train because they hit the brakes. So the train stopped.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she got thrown like hundreds of yards away.
Well, no,
she's right
near, but I don't think she's at the car she was going to, I guess is my point. Like, she's got to hike away.
I think that's why it looks like she's so far away, because you got to remember there's 40 more trains attached now. Like, she might be a couple feet away, but I wouldn't say that she's like,
Right. I was just thinking if they were moving so fast when it stopped, there would have been some momentum. You know
what
I mean?
Ever,
like, if you see in cartoons and stuff, like, it stops and they go, woo, in the air. So I don't know how that actually works with real physics, but I feel like she would have went one way or the other. I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
Did you guys ever think that she might be dead?
No.
No.
I mean, it occurred to me for a split second that maybe Jennifer Connelly didn't commit for the duration of a full series, and that her character would die. But then we didn't see her actually be dead. Yes, then you expect her to stand up and walk, right?
And also her daughter's there. It would make no sense. That's kind of my big clue right there. Like,
well,
they would have her daughter come back for her to be dead.
I mean, I also considered that Ruth might die. You know, in the moment that Ruth is like, I want to come back here, I got to be first.
Yeah,
right?
I kind of wonder.
When Andre starts saying, oh, yeah, Ruth, you go first, Ruth. You be the first person. I thought, oh, someone's going to come with guns blazing and like, he's, you know, like, Andre's brilliant. He's going to let her be shot first. It did occur to me that she might die. But it might have been some wishful thinking, because Ruth has really become a horrible, horrible person in the last, like, three episodes. Right? Like,
I know,
you hate her,
great.
Right?
Yeah, which is why we kind of knew
great.
Right now.
I'm loving it.
She really is the most devoted person to Mr. Wilford. Like, I feel like while the people in first class like Mr. Wilford because they think that he preserves their privileges or whatever, like, she's really, like, I don't want to say she's in love with him, romantically, but she definitely, like, kind of worships him, admires him, like, sees herself as his, like in the last two or three episodes, Ruth became this, like, insane, like disciple of Mr. Wilford, right? And she's very...
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. She is the way... I mean, I feel like it was out of character because, like I said, if somebody's your best friend, like, I get what she did was wrong, but she still kept everybody alive. I feel like she wouldn't be like, well, you said this man was dead and killed him, but he must still be this wonderful person that we never even saw. You know, it's just, I don't know.
Well, Ruth is horrible because, like, Ruth is all up with first class and believes in, like, that first class. You know, she's such a believer in the class system, but she's not really in first class. Like, she works in first class and she has the benefits of first class, but, you know, there's no way those people think, like, she's a servant basically, right? There's no way those people in first class think Ruth is their equal.
Right. I kind of assumed she was in second, but they never really said.
No, but she spends her whole day in first with the first class people, and,
right,
and I think she sort of is like, yeah. She's really, I mean, right, AJ? The way that she's all into Mr. Wilford is a little bit creepy.
She's a true believer.
Yeah.
Or she just knew ahead of time they looked like Sean Bean.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But that reminded me one thing I did want to mention is that the one thing I had questioned before, if we knew the answer or not, and we had all kind of agreed that was the way it was, we were wrong about, I don't know her name. I can't remember her name, Till's girlfriend. She did know, which I thought
Jinju.
Was interesting.
Jinju.
Yeah.
Jinju
yeah.
knew. Yeah.
Yeah. And kept it from her. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really glad that Till left her in the end.
Uh-huh.
Like, Till, you know, and there's that moment where Jinju says, oh, well, Till's like, look, I felt something totally like I've never felt before, like a responsibility to the train. And Jinju says, oh, so you understand then, like, be, you know, like Snowpiercer is whatever
train
she
first.
Says about being devoted to train first.
She said, yeah,
but,
she says train first.
But I think Till has a very different idea of train first than Jinju does, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't have at all the same. Like, they both believe train first, and yet they both, I think, have totally different ideas about that. Like, Jinju believes train first, she's devoted to the social order, whereas Till thinks train first is, like, people first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And if you've seen, so going back to the movie for a second, Jamie, you know, in the movie, the social order of the train is very, very strict. The movie is really all about, so they've touched on it in the show, but not as much of the movie, where the movie is, the train is a closed ecosystem that can support only so many people based on the resources it has. And the movie is a little bit more clear about having to sacrifice people. Like, if you start having babies, you have too many people. Right, and you can only support a certain amount of people in the train, and the movie's a little more clear about that idea of having to socially engineer the amount of people you can support, the resources you have, that kind of thing. And like Jinju is a little bit more on that side, I think, while she's not saying like, and in the movie cannibalism has a bigger, like the show has touched on cannibalism. But in the movie, it's a bigger deal, and it's more tied to this idea of limited resources. I do think Jinju is, you know, we saw Jinju argue about, like, the supply chain that she has, whereas Till's like, whatever, we got to figure it out. Like, people are people, right? I'm glad that they broke up. I, they've been having problems for a while.
Yeah. I agree. Everybody still there? Everybody got quiet.
So what do you think about, what do you guys think about, like, cutting six cars loose? And about
seven.
Second class and first class, or what exactly was it? Just
well,
first class?
It was all,
first.
It was basically the jerks from first class. It was basically all of those soldiers, right? All those, like, armed
soldiers.
And
that one dumbass family.
And LJ's parents. And then Layton had to sacrifice a whole bunch of prisoners along with them.
Yeah, that was bad. But I kind of thought that was interesting how they did that, and she's kind of like saying, this is what I go through all the time. It's not easy decisions that you have to let people die to save the rest. So, I mean, not that that was good. That was obviously a horrible thing that happened, but I kind of liked it. She's like, she didn't say anything because she's like letting him see this is the choices you're going to have to make.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. In that sense, it was a little bit of a test for Layton. And it was a little bit of what we talked about last week, where Pike was like,
"What, he made the wrong choice?" That would be very bad. Then everybody
died. He did do it. Well, yeah, right.
Yeah. Right, but she trusted that was the decision he'd make.
That's another person that has to die. Oh my God, Pike has to die. I'm not even sure what his value is to the show anymore.
It's annoying in here, like he wasn't walking dead. It's like one of the backup. Although I do have to say, the things like him being mean to that girl was funny, but. So I get it, like, for that scene, but now I kind of, like, almost feel bad for her, and I shouldn't, but I feel like the crazy person and horrible person that she was is kind of, in a way, her parents' fault. I mean, not, I can't
yes,
say that happens with everybody, but a lot of her craziness came, yeah, but a lot of that came from her parents, I think, and her not really,
well,
no,
I think
not
she
that
was,
that's an excuse,
no.
I'm just saying.
You, no, you can't,
she was
no,
a
you
very,
can't.
Go ahead.
You're going to
say the same thing I am, AJ.
You can't blame her parents
because she's psychotic. No, but they let her be
her
psychotic
parents.
And didn't raise her right. Now, I'm saying
that
is an excuse for her being a murderer. I know. I said it isn't. But I think a lot of the problems came from them, and they, I mean, yes, to some extent she's crazy, but I think a lot of it was from them, too.
People are responsible for themselves. You can't sit up being like, oh, if they had been nicer to her, she would have turned into a psycho. No, bullshit.
No,
I think that
I don't feel sorry for her at all.
I think that she is a very sick and psychotic person and always has been. I think her parents are also very damaged people, and they coddled her and protected her for a long time, right? Like
instead
her parents.
Her help.
Seen,
I guess that's my kind of point.
Like she put her father's eye out. They protected her. They like her parents have coddled her and made it possible and protected her, but they like I think she was born, she has been this way for a long. I don't think her parents made her that way by coddling. I think her parents coddling allowed her to grow to
get
an
worse.
Adult and their wealth protect. I mean, I think there's an element of the show that's about how wealth protects someone like her.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of am intrigued by, so while I didn't really enjoy what we saw of LJ in this episode because, like, I think she unraveled too quickly. Like, in the second hour, we saw LJ being in first class and Pike is, like, all crazy and she's all terrified. My parents died and whatever. And I didn't feel like that was real. Like, I wouldn't expect LJ to unravel so quickly because I think as a sociopath, she's. It was, yes, I did, but I would be kind of interested in seeing a storyline where how LJ manages without her parents and their wealth and privilege to protect her, but I do think she's more calculating and savvy and sociopathic to be able to survive instead of just being like, all of a sudden her hair is all crazy, like she hasn't washed it.
Yeah, they want
head
you to
for
feel
2 weeks
bad for
and she's all... Well, like, I can't live, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know if that's an act or if that was real, but like, to me, that wasn't right for LJ.
Okay.
So I'm not even sure where we expect this to go. So when the show ended, it said coming, like, new season coming soon. It didn't say coming. By the way, did you see how when the show ended, when Melanie's outside the train, it sort of turns into like a comic book graphic novel looking kind of a thing.
Yeah,
because
it started
right?
that way. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then it says new season coming soon.
Yeah.
Oh, did it?
Go ahead, AJ.
There was something else that I wanted to say about Ruth before. I think it's hilarious, the mindset of people. She's like, you just... You know, you killed 147 people. You left them out to die in the cold. So it's not okay to do what they just did with 147 people, but it's okay for the hundreds of failures you've killed. because you wanted to. Because they acted.
Oh yeah, how many have they taken an arm or killed or like done?
Yeah, exactly.
They killed so many people, right?
It always cracks me up with shit like that. Did you hear that this episode was the second highest rated episode of the season? It just
really?
Fell short
no.
of actually beating out. It actually just fell short of beating out the premiere, apparently.
Maybe people watched the first one, quit watching it, and came back to see what happened.
Yeah.
Or maybe people watched it in like on, people watched it in online kind of ways that weren't measured or something. Yeah.
Yeah, and then didn't want to wait for the
but
end.
But came back
awesome.
For it. That's interesting. I mean, that bodes well. I would watch a second season of the show. I mean, if it got canceled,
yeah,
I wouldn't like lament it forever. But I would watch another season.
Yeah, that's how I could be. Like, it was good. I'll watch it again, but. If it didn't come back, I wouldn't, like, be crying about it.
Yeah. As much as I don't love the idea of a second train and how it sort of, like, connected and all that, I would be kind of interested to see the ways in which, I mean, there are themes in the movie that haven't come across yet, and I wonder, I mean, I don't even want to really mention it because a lot of it's not going to happen, but some of it maybe could happen.
So that's kind of part of the whole thing of the show was
you're going out for me.
Well, you're breaking up a little bit, AJ. You got to step to a better room in your house. Yep, take another step. Another step to the right. Another quick step to the right. There you go.
Another step to the left. Sorry.
Anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're going to see much more of anything because that was the whole plan from the beginning was to go in a different direction and make them a star.
So you don't think we'll see it.
So
you think they're really trying to go a different direction of the movie and not bring in some of those themes. I mean, in the movie, there's a whole lot going on with the kids. That we've not really seen any of
I don't
think
in
this
happening.
Show. And in the movie, so maybe we can just spill this a little bit. The movie...
Well, I
want to
hang out before you do, if you're going to, because I do eventually.
No. So I would just say in the movie, like, the idea, like both the front and the back of the train are a little more strategic about the idea of rebellion of the tail against the front. And so the tail is more strategic and the front is not as stupid as they appear to be in this. Like the front of the train is totally like, what? The tail's revolting? Are you kidding me? You know. And
wait,
in
they're
the
stupid
film,
in the movie or in the show? I mixed.
In the show. In the show. In the show, they're a little bit like, it's been 7 years and there's this big revolution and they're like, how do we do this? And in the movie, they're a little bit more strategic about like their understanding of the tail's desire to revolt.
Right.
So I'll say that about it. Without spilling anything, I'll say it's a little more, they have a little bit better idea about what's brewing in their midst. Let's just put it that way. And there's more going on. There's a lot more kids and, Which you know, they haven't really addressed it, you know, on this show that much. I don't think that'll really happen. And then there's
really
a lot of, like...
To, but then again, I don't know what happens. So.
Yeah, you know, and I think that this show has addressed the idea that, you know, there was global warming, and then scientists were like, let's shoot a bunch of stuff in the sky to stop global warming. Oops, we made an ice age, which is terrible. But I think the movie also has a little bit more intense themes about that and reminds you of it more. That it is the folly of man that created this in the first place.
Yeah.
By the way, in the movie, Jamie,
mm-hmm.
they have been on the train for 17 years and there are multiple characters who have never been outside the train, that were born and raised on the train.
That's what I kind of wonder. I was going to say all those kids had to pretty much come with them because they're over six. So
yeah,
that makes
on the
that
train.
Makes
tons of them have been born and raised on the train.
And that's probably why they're stopping that, too, more or less. But
yeah.
I was going to say, the one thing
yeah.
we didn't talk about is what's-her-face being there, being
Zara.
Born, not being born with, being pregnant with.
Zara being pregnant with.
Which I had called, weeks ago.
But do you believe it?
Obvious.
There's no reason to really believe it other than she says it. Like, there's no proof is ever produced, right? Also, hasn't she
pregnant? There's a sonogram.
So, like, I know, but the sonogram doesn't say AJ's the daddy. It's just like there's a baby inside Zara.
This
right?
is kind of, maybe I'm wrong, but this was my understanding. She was given permission to have a baby with that other guy.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that because this is in the future, like they probably have better birth control and maybe like they're forced to take it. Now you're suddenly not, I don't have to. That guy died and she had sex with Leighton. So I kind of assumed that that's what you're supposed to believe, because to me
yes.
that sounded legit, like that makes sense. That's why I don't question that it's his, but you're right, they kind of went fast and it seems like a lot less time and there kind of was no proof, but I think that guy was supposed to have died before she got to try to have a baby with him. That was kind of how I took
think,
it, so that's how you know it's his.
Do you believe it's his, AJ?
I think it doesn't matter anymore because they killed Josie.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
true.
Yeah. I
yeah,
feel
and
like
name the baby Josie. Oh my God, that was done. Sorry.
Yeah, I feel like she's like to have a sonogram. Your baby has to be a certain size. You've got to be pregnant for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, they must.
And I feel
a
like she had sex
somewhere.
With Leighton like practically like 2 days ago. Like I feel like she, like I mean, we don't have a good sense of the timeline, but I feel like she recently had sex with Leighton. I believe it could be the other guy's baby. I also think it's established that Zara will do what it takes to survive. Like Zara, Zara betrayed Josie to save that baby. And so would Zara lie to Leighton to save that baby? I think she would. Right?
Could, or could
like,
just also
I,
be
I,
that since it's in the future, they can see the baby earlier too. But yeah,
yes,
it does seem like
yes.
not enough time has passed. I would agree with that.
And more importantly, she's a non-trustworthy character.
Mm-hmm.
And Leighton accepts it. Like, Leighton also knows that she had permission to have a baby and was actively trying to have a baby with another man, but and that she had his partner murdered, and yet he believes her pretty easily, which is maybe a flaw in Leighton's character or a desire to have a... I don't know. I feel like...
I'll be honest. I think the whole baby storyline is stupid and annoying. That's my... Yeah.
I agree with you. I hate babies and shows.
It was obvious, and they...
But I think that... I don't know. I think it can go either way. I hear you guys, and I think, as AJ says, it doesn't matter, and as Jamie says, it's believable. On the other hand, I think she's a horrible character who betrays everyone around her, and it could turn out to be a lie.
I think it could. I just don't know that that makes sense from the put in the story. I don't know. I just think the storyline's dumb to begin with, and it seems like maybe you're overthinking it. But, yes, I agree with you. It's way too short to happen, and she could be lying. But I don't know that that's – I don't know. I just don't think that's where they're going with it. But I could be wrong.
Okay. I overthink everything, so that's totally fair.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so do I. All right. Well, anything else for Spencer?
All right. Yeah, I guess we have an indefinite wait now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all we have next week right now is 100.
Right.
Yay.
I know. We're going to have to pick up some new shows, you guys. We're going to have to do some offline talking and pick something up to watch.
Well, speaking of, I told you guys. Sorry, go ahead.
Wait,
AJ
says no. AJ wants to take a break,
I was just going to. No. What I was going to say was we don't need to pick up new shows. They need to start making better shows.
Yeah, but right,
okay.
right now a
That's
lot
fair.
Isn't being made because of what happened, and I kind of wonder if since you saw Coming Soon, I didn't notice that, they may air the season sooner just so they have new material because most networks don't. So if they already
I'm
have
not sure
it
if it's
filmed,
been shot.
They just have
Has
to
it been
edit
shot?
It.
Nothing's
they,
been
well,
shot
I don't
yet.
Know. Oh, I thought they – well, they obviously shot Sean Bean. There's like a sneak preview of the second season. So they
yes,
must have
yes,
shot
they
a little
shot.
Bit.
They shot some stuff because there is a promo at the end of this episode. There was a promo for next season, and it just said coming soon. Didn't say coming in 2020, 2021. It was very vague.
Right.
Said coming soon, but they have shot some stuff for sure.
Yeah, I guess they didn't shoot that much. But I was trying to think of if I knew before what they said, but I don't know. But Yeah, kind of all the, right now there's not really new stuff being made for live action. It's, you know, everything's kind of going to be ground to a halt. And the sad thing is it takes so long to make TV and everything that, like, even if, like, what we're seeing now was made a long time ago, and at a certain point they're going to run out, and it's going to be forever till we get something new, you know, so.
Yeah, well.
But anyway, what I was going to say is I had told you guys about Simon Barry's show on Netflix, Warrior Nun.
Yep.
Warrior Nun.
I think you should watch it. It's really good. It's about a girl who gets a, I don't want to say too much because a lot of it's a surprise, but she ends up through some different circumstances with a halo being shoved in her back, and it gives her some powers, and there's like these obviously warrior nuns. But I don't know. It's a good adventure. I mean, she's like, I think 19, but I wouldn't say it's really like geared towards younger people or whatever. I mean, it's like a regular, it's not a teen.
Is it a comedy or is it a serious program?
No, no. It's a serious program. It's a drama. It's really good.
It's
have
based on a comic
like
book.
Some hang-ups with it. Like there's one, yeah, I think it's based on a graphic novel or whatever. There's one kind of thing, which I don't want to say because people, you know, I don't know if they've seen it, but one kind of thing I don't like that they did. I'm curious if it's going anywhere, but for the most part, the rest story now, I really liked it. I pretty much watched it in 2 days, 2.5 days, something like that. And there's like 10 episodes,
mm-hmm.
so it was good. That and, of course, season 5 of Lucifer is coming up next month. I'm not sure what else, but anyway, that's what I watched.
Speaking of, you know, comic books being turned into stuff, Alyssa and I watched The Old Guard the other night, which is another movie based on a comic book.
What's it called?
Charlie Theron. The Old Guard. It just came
out. The Old Guard,
right?
The Old Guard.
Yeah, that was pretty good. It's about these immortal mercenaries.
Okay.
They've been around a long time. And Charlie Theron's in it, so it's good.
Well, yeah. It reminded me when you said her name, though. I can't remember if I mentioned this last time or not, but Comic-Con's obviously coming up very soon. All the panels are online. She's in one of them. That's what it reminded me. Some of them you may want to check out now. I think they're taking questions for some, but obviously the videos themselves aren't live, the panels. But, you know, anybody can watch them for free. So there's some good ones coming up.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and Wynonna Earp coming back soon.
Oh, good, because we need some stuff to watch.
Yeah, that's coming back. And there's some stuff on Peacock. I don't know if you guys have watched any of that or whatever. I still have to catch up on some of the stuff, but there are some shows coming on that too that we may or may not want to cover. I don't know because I haven't seen it yet. But so that's kind of there. But I'm not sure about anything else specific. I'm trying to think. My mind's blanking. I can't think of anything else specifically that's coming other than
you know,
like the streaming networks and things that aren't sci-fi or whatever.
We need a good high concept show.
So, you know, here's the thing that, you know, we should think about and that will affect everyone, really, is that while broadcast and cable production has come to a halt, Netflix appears to be almost unaffected with a whole bunch of produced stuff in their vault. And I read that Netflix has something like 50 new shows coming out before the end of the year. Now, some of them will be horrible and will not be up our alley, but some of them will be. But you know, like the streaming services, I mean, Apple's had a bunch of stuff coming out lately, right? The streaming services have all this stuff produced. Now, it's not five or six seasons.
They're behind in airing.
It's one season or two season, but they've backed it up, yeah, and they will air it slowly over time in a different way than
that might really help.
Yeah. I saw a commercial for a new Tom Hanks movie that's only on Apple Plus or Apple, whatever.
The submarine movie. It's supposed to be decent. He is captain of a submarine in World War II. It's supposed to be a pretty decent movie. Yeah, I don't have Apple Plus, so I won't be watching it. But
I don't either.
But yeah, there. You know, like that stuff is out there, and I think that people have to address their watching, and like we as reviewers will maybe have to adjust what we cover in the next 6 months, probably. Mm-hmm. But there is stuff. Unfortunately, you have to pay for it in a different way, right? Like,
right, but if cable
is
not got nothing
as cable
on it,
is, like, you got
to
pay like $100 a month for cable, and you get stuff, right? But yeah,
mm-hmm.
there's stuff. I mean, so there's a bunch of stuff on Netflix that I'd like to. I haven't watched Dark yet. There's a show called I think it's called Tale. Have you watched something? Is it called Tales from the Loop? Something about the Loop that's supposed to be a pretty good show.
No, that's a time travel, right? I've been waiting to see that. I haven't had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was supposed to be really good. I don't know because I haven't even tried it, but like I said,
I'd like to watch. Yeah, there's Hannah on Amazon. I'd like to watch.
Yeah, I need to try that again. I tried that at the beginning and couldn't get in it. But you guys should watch Warrior Nuns. I told you that you should watch The Order.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd like, and I don't know. I went back. I realized I don't think. I thought I saw them all, but I'm wondering if some of them I had read on Wiki because I had done the interview and never got back to watching them all. But I'm rewatching Lucifer. I'm really enjoying this show again. It's a cool show. But
and the guy
know.
Is really good looking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is true. I'm just having this conversation with somebody else today about this. But that show is really good, and the new one is obviously the new season's coming up. But there's quite a lot of episodes of that. I like, even if I'm getting a show I haven't watched in a long time, like, need stuff to watch, you know, stuff to binge. But that show I think you guys would like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what else. I don't know. You guys know most of what I've watched. I did
recommend
The Dark.
I
got
watch
one more episode.
This is a good chance to watch some old stuff. Like, if you haven't seen The Prisoner, which I haven't, I'd like to watch that. The Invaders is a show I'd love to watch. Some of the really formative science fiction stuff that I haven't seen from the 60s and 70s is on my list.
Oh,
for
you mean
quarantine.
The old one. I thought you meant the newer one. Yeah, I don't want to see that. Yeah. I meant the newer show called The Invaders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well,
all right.
But yeah,
so for tonight, I guess we've wrapped it up. Next week,
ladies.
We have one show, AJ. We'll find something else to add on to it and surprise our
otherwise
listeners.
Otherwise, I won't
that.
Know what to say.
All right.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, otherwise Katie has a reason to call.
Yes, I want to have a reason to call. So you got to find something.
Yep.
All right,
ladies. Have a good week.
All right, great talking to you guys.
Day.
Have a good week.
Okay, yep, have
Thanks,
fun.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for being listening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
For having access. And
stay safe.
And okay.
Bye.
Good night.
Yep, Roger. Good night.
Bye.